Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by our live NBA draft show, NBA Draft GOAT, Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host, Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host, John Carlos, will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On's NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast, as always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on this Wednesday edition of LOE. It's episode number 3 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles, wherever you get your shows. We are available Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and we finally have some real football to talk about. The Eagles started training camp today with their first practice in the morning at NovaCare Complex. Gino, it feels like Christmas Eve for diehard football fans because once training camp starts, the dead zone, it's kind of slow. May through June to July, there is kind of a lull there across the NFL, but once training camp starts, then the ball really gets rolling. And before you know it, we're going to be watching Eagles-Falcons Week 1, and it started today. And it was really exciting to see the guys hit the field in a new era of Eagles football.
Yeah, it was good to see, have some fans back on the sidelines as well. Yeah. Seems like so long since we've actually had fan and player and coach interaction.
Well, I was going to say, last year felt like we didn't even know what was happening during training camp.
I know, yeah, we were very in the dark. So it was great to see all around every single camp that had opened up so many incredible storylines that when the timeline is full of football, everything is good in the world, yep. In my opinion. I think today is everything that we needed here at Locked On Eagles. All our listeners wanted to see what's going on, and we're really starting to get some answers. And the first day of camp, it's exciting, and you really learn a lot. And I liked what everybody had to say, including Howie Roseman. Nick Sirianni was up there. They had a cool little clip that Nick Sirianni's younger son was there, and he was calling out his dad's name during the press conference, saying Dada, which is pretty cool. I like to see the family back in there and just really seeing everybody in that building smiling. You know, like the first day of camp is like the first day of school before you have homework. Everybody's just getting back, saying hi to everybody. The bad things haven't started to kick in yet, and we can actually talk about the fun stuff that's happening. Because in a few weeks, once we get to the nitty-gritty and we do line up week one versus the Atlanta Falcons, we're going to see how good this team is, and we find that out starting today.
100%, and we've been previewing Eagles training camp throughout the last couple weeks. Gino and I have been, each episode, diving deep into each position. So we've done so far the offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, running back. Yesterday, I had Jalen Hurts' quarterback coach in the offseason, Quincy Avery, on to dive deep into Jalen Hurts. Heading into year two, we've talked about the safety position and cornerback. Today, Gino, we have a couple more positions on defense to dive into as we continue to preview each position for Eagles training camp. We've got defensive line today, and then tomorrow we wrap up with the linebacker position. And I thought a lot of the newsworthy notes at practice today had to do with the defensive line that we'll dive into on today's edition of the show. But Gino, the Eagles are running back a top defensive line that last year I think they were second in sacks across the NFL. And so a lot of the roster this year, a lot of question marks, a lot of young unknown pieces, but like on offense, we talked about last week with the offensive line, this defensive line is a strength of the team, and it's one, again, one of the strongest units in football. Running it back with Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat, and Derek Barnett. Then you add Ryan Kerrigan to the fold and Milton Williams to replace Malik Jackson and Vinnie Curry. I think those are two upgrades. Hassan Ridgeway is back as well. This is a really, really interesting and productive and proven unit that I think is going to carry this defense again as they normally have.
It's kind of funny that you listed those guys exactly like you did, because I have a tweet here from Dave Spadaro from 11 hours ago when he was at camp, and he said that it changes a lot, but I'm looking at the D, and exactly how you listed the D line, Lou. He said Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, and Josh Sweat are the four on the defensive line. So exactly how you listed them. it kind of is what we've been manifesting for this whole offseason, you know, exactly what we wanted to see them do at that position. And it's not going to look as similar as we saw with Jim Schwartz, where it's just two guys at the five tech, where they're over the tackle at the defensive end position. I would assume Josh Sweat is standing up more than he is a hand in the dirt rusher this season. I think that's where you want to see him, because he has so much bend. You want to show off his explosiveness, and having him in a two-point stance, Lou, I mean, I'm looking at defenses like Pittsburgh, where they have a guy like TJ Watt,
right?
And having Josh Sweat play that type of role, I think that's a very interesting position for him, because everybody else in Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, those guys are going to take up a lot of space, and the guys behind them, Josh Sweat, the Davian Taylors, the other linebackers that are there, are going to have to do a lot of cleaning up. But when you have as many top-notch defensive linemen as Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, who are you going to double? You're going to leave Brandon Graham and Javon Hargrave one-on-one all game while you're doubling Fletcher Cox? No, that's not going to happen. It's going to be a nightmare for offensive lines to have to plan against this, Lou. And then after you get past the top four, you have an elite amount of depth behind them.
Yeah.
And guys that we haven't even mentioned yet, and Milton Williams. And, I mean, you're going to have Jannard Avery from the linebacker position rushing the passer. And you're just going to be able to throw 6, 7, 8, 9 different guys at an offensive line. And when you're in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and you need to make a stop, I'm going to give the thumbs up to the Eagles' defensive line simply because they're going to have fresher legs, they're going to have more firepower, and to invest at this position year over year only is going to reap the rewards once all of these guys start to develop. And you've actually seen the development in a lot of these guys, even Javon Hargrave, a player who early on in his Philly tenure last year wasn't the greatest, started to come around in the latter half of the season. Josh Sweat has become this more complete pass rusher. You're just going to see these guys taking an additional step year over year. Oh, and not to mention, Lou, they have a Hall of Famer in Ryan Kerrigan, who they could bring off the bench as one of the best rotational edge rushers in the sport.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of long-term pieces right now guaranteed to be here beyond 2021 outside of Milton Williams. But, Gino, kind of like the offensive line, I said this on the episode when we previewed the offensive line, you never want to rush elite trench play out early. You want to maximize that, and you want to run it back with that kind of unit for as long as you can have it, because when your lines are bad, everything else just completely collapses at the seams. Yep. So you want to keep running that back as long as you can. And again, as we said in the cornerback episode, veterans are part of rebuilds, and you never know how long rebuilds are going to take in the NFL. It doesn't take 10 years like sometimes it does in the NBA and the NHL to get good. You could hit on two off seasons like they did in 2016 and 2017, find your franchise quarterback, and boom, you're suddenly back to being a title contender. And when you're a contender again, you're going to want Brandon Graham still on your team. You're going to want Fletcher Cox. You're going to want a Ryan Kerrigan type of player like you did with Chris Long. You're going to want a Javon Hargrave. And that's why, too, there was some talks during the offseason about trading Fletcher Cox. That's part of why I don't want to trade Fletcher Cox. Right now, you don't need the cap relief as much as you have like last offseason. Mm-hmm. You don't need it as desperately. You already have a lot of draft capital. So I'd rather have 2, 3, 4 more great years of Fletcher Cox than a second round pick. So I like this unit a lot still, and I want to keep maximizing that talent as long as I can. And you know this team, Gino, they're always going to continue. It doesn't matter how many players, good players they have, they're going to continue to invest assets up front because they want to be 7, 8, 9 deep.
Always. And Howie said today that same sentiment on the offensive side of the ball regarding the offensive line, that like you need to have a solid offensive line so you can evaluate Jalen Hurts and everybody else around them. You need the exact same thing on the defensive side of the ball, because when you know that Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Javon Hargrave and even Derek Barnett, when these guys are going to be gap sound and they're going to get to their spots and get to their assignments, in a year where you have to evaluate some young linebackers, that's only going to help your evaluation process, because you know that the guys in front of them are going to make their plays more often than not. So can the guys behind them do what they're supposed to do as well? And it only is going to help everybody around them, because when you could take the pressure off of the cornerbacks, let's say 2 out of every 4 snaps, and the cornerbacks can do the same to you, where you're not having to be this pass rush over cover type of defense, where you could kind of play both of them in the balance. And our favorite thing to mention and bring up on this show is Thanos when he's holding the knife in his hand on his finger, and everything has to be balanced. And I fully believe that with the signings that they've made and the additions on the back end, this defensive line, now where they can actually do what they have to, be sound to their positions in a Jonathan Gannon scheme where they're going to get after the quarterback. They're going to put pressure on the quarterback. Look at Indy's pressure numbers last year, Lou. They were at the top of the league. Mm-hmm. And now you have more firepower for Gannon to throw out there. It's just like when you're a kid playing Pokemon and you just continue to get holographic card after holographic card after holographic card every pack that you open. This defensive line is all our best cards right now. You know, Fletcher Cox is still in the prime of his career. A lot of people say he's fallen off from what he was. He still takes on two guys more often than not, and that alone is huge for a defense.
Well, Brandon, I thought he was better last year, Gino. Oh, I thought Fletcher Cox was better last year than he was in 2019.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of downplay how good Fletcher Cox is and has been in his career. And that's one guy I'm never going to say I want out of Philadelphia, regardless of the cap implications. That deal was done 6-7 years ago, Lou. I mean, that cap hit is nothing compared to what it could be, you know? So that's how I weigh it. He's a guy that can be here for at least 2 to 3 more years under his current deal. You could restructure that deal because we know how he's great at doing that. You don't have a burden for cap space, so why is that even a discussion, you know? To me, you keep a good thing going. If it's not broke, don't fix it. This defensive line isn't broke.
I agree.
I'm having flashbacks of when Andy Reid used to rush, whoever his defensive coordinators were back in the day after Jim Johnson, when they used to rush three guys to get to the passer on like a third and long, and we're just sitting there, and the quarterback has 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. No, that's not what's going to happen when you have this many good players on the field, especially up front. There's not enough good offensive linemen in the league to keep up with what Philly has for four quarters, snap after snap after snap. I just don't see how it's going to happen, Lou.
Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. The NFL season is here, ladies and gentlemen. Training camp has started. Get your bets in on the NFL season, on futures, player props, anything you can imagine, yearly awards. It is all available for you on BetOnline.ag. Plus, the MLB season is in full swing right now. You've got UFC and MMA action. Everything you need. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you're going to receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is when you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, at betonline.ag for a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And I think, again, just because you don't have a lot of 22-year-olds, you know, 24, 25, you know, and anything under like 26, doesn't mean you don't have pieces beyond this year and next year. Again, like you said, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, those guys are in their prime right now. You have Milton Williams, who you invested a third-round pick in. Brandon Graham is still at the height of his abilities. And then, of course, at defensive end, you're at least going to have one of these guys long-term. And that's the biggest question mark, and the most interesting thing to look at is the battle at defensive end opposite Brandon Graham, between Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett. It's not only who's going to start opposite BG this year, who's going to get the majority of the snaps on the edge, but, you know, it's also who could potentially get that one possible contract extension, because both Barnett and Sweat are up for new deals this year. Barnett, the Eagles picked up his fifth-year option this season. He's a free agent next year. They could not get an extension done this past offseason, even if the Eagles wanted to. Not sure if they did. And then Sweat, of course, heading into year four as well, is going to be a free agent, as he was a fourth-round pick, so there is no fifth-year option on Sweat. Today, as you mentioned earlier, Josh Sweat got the first crack at first team, and I absolutely love that, Gino. I think Derek Barnett, it kind of has to do with, it's like the floor versus the ceiling, right? Josh Sweat, I think Derek Barnett's the floor, and Sweat is the ceiling. Sweat is the superior player, I think, physically. He's the better pass rusher, and he's developing like crazy each year. Less than 40% of the snaps last year, and he's still at 6 sacks, the most tackles for a loss on the defense. And then there's the floor, like Barnett. He's the reliable starter, at least 5 sacks, at least in 3 of 4 years. But again, He's never had more than 6.5 in a season. Even if he breaks out this year, like the question is it just a contract year thing? So maybe they pay both, and maybe those are your guys after Graham. But defensive ends, they kind of get paid a lot. And I don't know, it might have to do with one guy or the other. And I guess maybe you have to decide what you want. Is the floor that you're banking on, or are you going to go all in and hope Sweat just keeps on this trajectory?
I don't even put those guys in the same bucket to a degree, because I believe they play too dissimilarly from each other to kind of put them in the same bucket. Mm-hmm. I put DB in the BG bucket, you know, where who I would also put in a guy like Taron Jackson, let's say. Not the most explosive player, not the longest player, not right. the most elite bend in the world, but a guy who is good against the run, a guy who can set the edge for you. When I'm comparing Josh Sweat, I'm looking at a guy behind him who's going to play the same type of role in Kerrigan and saying, how close could Josh Sweat, if you're looking at him from a scouting perspective, get to a type of player like Ryan Kerrigan? Because that's the role that, if you're looking at it from a long-term perspective, those guys, the Ryan Kerrigans of the world lose, the Dwight Freeney, for example, those guys right. that can come in, and the Chris Longs, even in Philadelphia, those guys can play well into their 30s, as opposed to a guy like Derek Barnett, who, if he is even 75% as good as Brandon Graham, I don't know how long that type of player holds up in the league. BG just happened to be in the right situation at the right time, got hot at the right time to stick around even for a one-year deal, and then grew into his own. But do you even have enough money to keep Derek Barnett around to see that?
Exactly. And you look at last offseason, there was players that had worse production, honestly, than Barnett that got pretty sizable deals. So, again, I think it'd be perfect. Like you're saying, these guys are very opposite when it comes to their styles. I'd love to have those two as your defensive ends after Graham. I just don't know this year if one of them is going to get priced out. I don't know if you can pay both, as well as if you're keeping Cox still on the payroll and Brandon Graham.
Yeah, do you find Josh Sweats as easily as you find Derek Barnett's?
No, I think you can find a Barnett easier than you can find a Sweat.
Right, you can replace a lot of that production through other avenues right. as well. Like, they draft a guy like Marlon Tuipulotu, who can plug the gap for you against the run for one or two downs. I mean, Derek Barnett, if he's healthy, can stop the run. But then you can also replace that with a cheap contract like a Ryan Kerrigan to get the better pass rush minutes, you know?
Well, how about Milton Williams, man? He plays defensive exactly. end, too. Fletcher Cox said today he was getting defensive end reps behind BG.
Yeah, so where is Derek Barnett in this equation? Is he one of those guys we look to try and trade before the season starts?
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to cut some good players, Lou, at this position. Simply numbers-wise, you can't keep 15 guys on a defensive line. It doesn't work like that.
In a new system, you look at a lot of these players are the same players that have been very used to playing in a 4-3 defense. Do you think, like, what do you think the difference can be between Jim Schwartz's defensive line and now Jonathan Gannon's? Like, how is it going to look similar? Like, how are these guys going to be used in different ways?
So, yeah, it's the thing about fronts in the defensive line nowadays is that you have to make the distinction that there no longer really is a 3-4 and a 4-3. Is it even or is it odd?
Yeah.
Because if you look at a defense like Pittsburgh where they run an odd front, they constantly have three defensive down linemen, but then a whole gambit of linebackers behind them. And where these guys are lining up, are they going to be in the A gap? Are they going to be rushing off the edge? I think you're going to see a consistent three guys with their hand in the dirt. So a guy like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Derek Barnett when he comes in rotation, guy like Milton Williams as well. But then on the other side, you can have a player like Josh Sweat, who is a stand-up defensive end and almost is that four in the 4-3, but you're really only showing three guys down. So it opens up a lot more coverage opportunities. You could throw a lot more blitzes a lot easier than in a very stoic and standard 4-3, which we saw under Jim Schwartz. And when I'm looking at it, you could have a guy like Patrick Johnson come in behind Josh Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan and play that type of role. While on the other side, you have a Derek Barnett, who's a much smaller, much more compact player, play between the guard and the tackle and defend the run more and set the edge more, while you have the faster playmakers going at the quarterback. In the NFL today, it's about speed, it's about acceleration, and it's about how fast you could get from point A to point B. I want a guy in Josh Sweat getting to the quarterback much more than I do a guy like Brandon Graham or Derek Barnett, simply because he's a better pass rusher. He presents better pass rush skills. He's faster, more versatile, more athletic. Those are the guys we need to see going after the quarterback this year, Lou. They're going to get pressure from Fletcher Cox and Hargrave, but they really have to start distinguishing themselves as a team that creates pressure off the edge, but at the same time can make you think, and they can bring interior pressure because they have more stand-up linebackers that can rush the quarterback. I wouldn't be shocked if you see Josh Sweat line up in the A-gap, where you have seen Mike Zimmer, who Jonathan Gannon coached under, do all the time in his career, and you change up looks for the quarterback. All of a sudden, you're looking up. It's the second quarter, and you got Josh Sweat as a stand-up rusher in the A-gap. How do you change your offensive line that quickly to defend that? That's the thing you're going to see a lot more, is a lot more creativity, a lot more chess playing than just going up there and lining up your checkers and hoping that you get to jump one of the offensive linemen. You know, it's much more fun to watch a defense like this than it is to watch Jim Schwartz's defense, because yeah, those guys, it's going to be the same four type of roles. They're not going to change up many looks. They're going to send the same linebacker on the same blitz game after game after game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lou, it's going to be like a magic show. It's going to be, okay, who's coming from where? Who's popping back into coverage? Who's coming down to rush from the secondary? Or even having a guy in Jannard Avery and Josh Sweat and Patrick Johnson come up at the same snap and rush from all different avenues with three different skill sets. I can't wait to see what the snap counts are on Monday morning after these games to see how intricate Gannon gets into his game plan, because right now he has a lot of different toys. How is he going to use all of them and get them into the right positions? That's what I'm most interested to see out of these guys.
Yeah, look, I think playing in a simple style like Jim Schwartz's defense did can have its perks, but I think I'm really excited, like you're saying, to see this defensive line be used in different ways, so many different looks. And like you're saying, you don't know who's coming from where. And that was kind of frustrating with Jim Schwartz, is like situationally, they always stuck to the same thing, even when the game called for changing things up. And that's the thing, is like, I like just letting your players go play and putting them in one spot and being consistent in that way. But I think there's got to be a balance there. And there were just times where you knew you needed one thing, but Jim Schwartz was never going to even consider it. And he wasn't going to consider fitting players more to their strengths, instead fitting them into his style. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing change with Gannon. And I think you nailed everything talking about the details of that when it comes to what this defensive line is going to look like formation-wise and where guys are going to line up. It's going to be fun to see Milton Williams and Josh Sweat and all these young players.
I mean,
and the
think
veterans
of those NASCAR packages they ran during the years of Jim Schwartz. That was the most fun we had watching that defensive front, because you bring in three guys, especially when Michael Bennett was there, who played that position better than anybody that season, in my opinion. He was one of the top pass rushers in the NFL by many metrics that year. They were fun to watch because you see guys getting offensive linemen uncomfortable. It's not just, oh, I'm going to see the same guy with the same three pass rush moves. That's all I have to defend. The biggest play in Eagles history, Brandon Graham rushing from the three tech. I will reference it all of the time. He knew that he had an advantage on Shaq Mason. They had talked about it all game, him and Jim Schwartz, and they took advantage of it on the last play to strip Tom Brady. And that's what you're going to see. You're just going to see more matchups won because you have more cards in your deck that you can, more hands to play. You just have more options, and more options is always better when it comes to scheming. And just scheming alone, Lou, like not even getting out there on Sundays and having to win one-on-one matchups against top-notch players. just being in the offensive room for an offensive lineman or an offensive line coach, having to game plan for that is going to be miserable. I don't want to be that guy who has to study that film and know my offensive line is just going to get walked. I'm going to get berated by my offensive coordinator and my head coach because our quarterback can't stay healthy. This defensive line really should dominate for this team, Lou, and they don't have any excuse not to. Yeah, we might get a little shaky and have a little rough start right off the bat, but when they hit their stride, they should be one of the top units once again, without a doubt, in my opinion.
Guys, before we continue our defensive line preview right here on Locked On Eagles, want to give a shout out to our sponsor at Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It's a chocolate bar in protein bar form. It doesn't even taste like a protein bar. I wouldn't tell the difference in a movie theater between this and a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate. It's soft. It's easy to chew. It's healthy. 17 grams of protein in every bar. Only 130 calories. Only 4 grams of sugar. And the flavors are awesome. There's something for everybody. If you're a coconut lover, they've got coconut or coconut almond. I love peanut butter. I'm a big peanut butter brownie guy. That's their go-to flavor when it comes to peanut butter. Double chocolate, salted caramel. If you like mint, they've got mint brownie, raspberry, cherry, so many unique different flavors. And again, it's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. Head over to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. And you're going to get 15% off your first order. Once again, that's BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Gino, before we wrap up the show, the Eagles invested a lot this offseason, once again, in the defensive line. Who's a guy, though, that we haven't talked about deeper on the depth chart that we should take a look at in camp that I know you were a big fan of the moves they made on the defensive line at the end of the draft? Who are some of those young prospects that you're watching?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking at a guy like Teron Jackson and seeing how quickly he can pick this defense up, because you talk about if you can't pay Derek Barnett, who's going to play that role if he were to depart? And Brandon Graham isn't getting much younger. So you need to find the heir to that style of play. And Teron Jackson really is that guy. He played that role at Coastal Carolina. He was in that 3-4 style of defense where he's playing over the guard and tackle, responsible for setting the edge, responsible for defending the run. He's a guy that I look there and can get minutes right away. See if he can hold his own. See if his freakish wingspan and his freakish body that he has. I mean, the dude is an athletic specimen. See if he can go out there and hold his own right away. And then Patrick Johnson, I think we have to talk about as well, because that's a new style of player that we're going to see. A guy who is a stand-up rusher, a pure stand-up rusher, but also can defend the pass a little bit. They're going to ask guys like Jannard Avery to play that style most likely in this system. But if Jannard Avery isn't consistent and can't get to the passer, which in the past couple seasons he really hasn't been able to do, you're going to see him on the field. You're going to see him getting snaps and taking away snaps from guys like even Derek Barnett, for example. If you want to get more pass rush on the field and you're behind in a game and you need to create a turnover, I'm sending out as much speed and athleticism as I can. And Patrick Johnson's right at the top of that list. I'm very excited for all the gentlemen that they drafted, all the guys that are on this team that they had coming from the last regime into now, even the depth players. I mean, T.Y. McGill's still on the roster, Lou. Can't forget about all the meaningful minutes he's played for us in the last couple of years. They just have guys that are going to step up to the plate. And at this position especially, I love to see it. I will never get mad about having defensive line depth. I could talk about this position all day. I think we're going to talk about it a lot. They're going to hit a lot of accolades this year that we want to see. I think the lead be at the top, towards the top of the league in pressures, towards the top of the league in sacks. Don't sweat the sack numbers, but I think they're going to have a lot more than they did last year, Lou, and they were pretty good when it came to that statistic. And I'm just excited to see what Gannon can do, and he's got to be chomping at the bit. And that video they had of him when they selected Milton Williams, that would be me every night going to bed knowing that I have these guys to play defensive line, and that's what I have to line up every single week. I would be a happy guy, and there's no reason why he should have said no to taking this job, and he's a happy guy, that Jonathan Gannon.
much like the offensive line, the defensive line for the Eagles is talented and it is deep. It is one of the, it's two of the strongest positions in football. The Eagles offensive line and the defensive line, the trenches are elite for the Birds again in 2021. So if they're good this year, that surprisingly so, it won't be a surprise that it's because of the pass rush and the protection. That's going to do it for today's edition of your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles. Be sure to subscribe to the show. Shows Monday through Friday all year round on any podcast platform. And then we're on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at GC24_football. We'll see you tomorrow for our linebacker preview. Until then, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.